All right, what's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Mavs Film Room podcast. We're coming to you on Sunday, November 5th, 2023 at 9:40 p.m. Central Time, just after the Mavericks got a 124-118 victory over the powerhouse Charlotte Hornets, a team that effectively ended the Mavs season last year and looked like they were about to take another win from the Mavericks in this game, but thanks to a strong second half, the Mavs were able to pull off this win, and I think saved the day for Dallas sports after the Cowboys suffered a brutal loss to the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles. But we're not here to talk about the Cowboys. We're here to talk about the Mavericks and their last few games, which included a loss to Denver on Friday night. I'm joined by Rohan and Fazl. Guys, how are you?
Good. Been having a pretty solid last few days and capping it off with a win against the Hornets when I really kind of didn't expect one, just based off of last season and how they match up with us this season, which, you know, I maintain that the Hornets are a bad matchup for the Mavs. To see them gut it out and win, that was really good to see. You know, we definitely have a different vibe around us this season.
I'm doing pretty swell back home in sunny California. Good to see the Mavericks win again. I was supposed to be at that in-season tournament debut. Kind of glad I wasn't now that they lost. But yeah, good to be 5-1 on the record books right now.
Yeah, it is great to be 5-1. Second in the West behind the Nuggets, who of course have an extra win thanks to what they did on Friday. But you can argue the merits of how the Mavs have won these games, the teams that they've won games against. But at the end of the day, as I tweeted out just a few minutes ago, the Mavs were combined 6-8 against the teams that they've beaten this season, last season. So, I mean, look, 5-1 is the best start that the Mavs have had since 2004, 2005. You got to play the team that's in front of you. Not going to apologize for any of these wins and just happy to be here. Uncharted territory, really.
Yeah, I seem to recall, you know, speaking about the record and strength of schedule and all that, the 1920 team, Luka's sophomore season, I think there was a similar complaint about how a lot of those wins were against, you know, clearly inferior teams, and the Mavs, they didn't really play up to playoff competition especially well in the regular season. And again, look, I don't really care about that. It's just nice to see us win games for a change. And you know, obviously when you have Luka, things get a lot more intense in the playoffs with him. So I think the function of this team as it is right now, just to win games against worse or equal teams on paper, you know, that's perfectly fine. I'm not going to stress out, oh, you know, we got to beat all these contender teams and show off like that. Like, no, that's not really my focus at the moment. And I have a suspicion that it's not really the Mavs' focus based on, you know, statements made by Jason Kidd in the recent past.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the Mavs are more concerned about winning every single night. And like we just said, you know, you got to play the team that's in front of you. And so far, these have been the opponents that are in front of the Mavs. I mean, obviously, we would have loved to see them win that game against Denver on Friday. And I think a road game in Denver really represents the toughest test that I think any team is going to face this season. And so it wasn't shocking to see the Mavericks not come out on top in that game. I didn't get a chance to really watch after the first half, but it seemed like the first half, the Mavs made a little bit too many mistakes. Denver was shooting hot, and the Mavs, you know, I think showed some more fight in the second half, but ultimately they lost that game. But I think it shows you, obviously, that there's a gap between the elite of the elite in the West, which is the Nuggets. But it also showed that I think the Mavs can compete in such scenarios. Just remains to be seen what the upper level of the type of team they could beat is. They have a game against the Clippers on Friday, for example, that I think will be a good test.
Yeah, I didn't catch the full game in Denver either, but I don't want to give my thoughts on it. I'm just going to, you know, have a lot of expletives for the refs in that regard. And we don't really need to hear that. Tonight, I mean, I'm just happy that the Mavericks got a win against a team that scored 30 points on them in three separate quarters. Not an end-to-end great defensive night from this team. You know this team is capable of more, but they still closed it out. And that's really been the story of this season for me, just as a fan. And I'm curious to see, as the strength of schedule kind of goes up, whether their late-game execution starts to falter a little bit. However, I think Grant Williams, for one, really impressed me tonight. And in general, over the last maybe three or four games, has been maybe the biggest energy guy, the most impactful guy on the floor, intangibly. And I'm loving it.
Yeah, I think Grant Williams and Derek Lively have, you know, emerged as kind of the stars of the first six games of the Mavs. Lively, for obvious reasons that we've talked about, just his presence defensively, and we saw it tonight. He had that big block on, I believe, it was either Nick Richards or Mark Williams, one of the two. But essentially, that was huge to, you know, continue to give the Mavs momentum there as they close out the game against Charlotte. And he had 15 points and 14 rebounds in this game. I mean, a huge double-double is something that he didn't really do at Duke. Looks like a completely different player. But Grant Williams, to your point, has been as solid as I think any of us expected, and honestly, probably way more solid. I mean, tonight, I believe he had three clutch three-pointers in the fourth quarter. Big shots that the Mavericks needed, every single one of them. Then he had a nice assist to Kyrie Irving in the corner for a layup. And just, you know, how disruptive he is on defense. I mean, he's not your stereotypical perimeter wing defender, but he's a guy with a lot of size and can hold his own in the post and just make it difficult for players once they get inside the lane and try and size him up. So, I mean, Grant Williams has been everything advertised for the Mavs and more.
Yeah, at some point I kind of wonder with Grant, like, if he's just gonna ever cool off from deep, because what he's been doing to start off the year, like, we hardly ever see it from role players, especially, like, you know, Reggie Bullock, for instance. So to see this the complete opposite way, it's a very welcome change. But he's been everything as advertised and more, I think, as you guys have said. We definitely do not have a record of 5-1 if we replace Grant Williams with, I don't know, some league average player, like, I don't know, old buddy Jay Crowder.
Yeah. I mean, even Reggie Bullock, for that matter. I mean, no disrespect to him, but as Grant Avseth kind of talked about on our spaces last week, replacing a player like Reggie Bullock, who, if you know that if he doesn't get an open shot, he's most likely going to give the ball back to Luka. With Grant Williams, he's someone who can, you know, he can at least put the ball on the floor and try and make a play. So just having a little bit more versatility that way really helps the Mavs. And, you know, we expected to see some regression in clutch games, because obviously the Mavs were terrible in clutch games. I think that regression has come pretty early in the season for them.
Yeah, not much to say about Grant Williams other than I was honestly, coming into the season, I did not expect him to have this level of, I mean, he had 25 points against, forgetting the team now, but I think 3 games ago or 2 games ago, with, I think, 4 or 5 threes in there as well.
I think it was against Chicago 2 games ago.
Yeah, and that's a big game. I mean, that and the Nuggets are probably the two most notable opponents this team has faced in these first 2 weeks. So it's not just that. It's also all the reports of him being one of the most vocal guys in the locker room. If you look at him on defensive sets, he's always calling things out. He's very vocal. There's been a lot of, over the years, a lot of criticism of Luka for complaining to the refs. Grant Williams does not dilly-dally after an offensive possession. It doesn't matter how it goes. He's about his business. And I love seeing that from a Mavericks player, especially from starting wing.
Yeah, I mean, culturally, he's been huge for the Mavs. Can't deny it. Both, like we said, in the locker room and on the court.
Yeah, you know, Luka got his second technical of the season tonight, just 6 games in, which isn't great. But I do feel like, you know, to you guys' point, Grant and Derek both, Lively, were huge in setting the tone for this game and most of the games this season. You know, Luka, by all means, kind of had a stinky game tonight. And what I saw in the first half, I was like, oh, great. You know, he's just going to do more of the same in the second half. And was the second half perfect? No, but he did turn it up when it mattered most, especially on defense, which was very welcome to see. And I think that, you know, just having defensive minded players and strong communicators, and, you know, Grant Williams does both those things, like, that was a really big turning point. Because last season, I think Luka would have just stunk it up the entire game. Like, they didn't have a clear leadership voice. So you already see, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but you've already seen what his impact's like in just these few games.
And yeah, it helps to have a more versatile roster because, I mean, to your point, Fazl, in the first half of this game, the Mavs could not buy a bucket from three. I believe they shot 6 of 26 on threes in the first half. They shot a lot of threes. It wasn't falling. And as a result, they were down by, I think, 12 at halftime to Charlotte. And it looked like, again, Charlotte was just going to run us out of the building, because I think Charlotte's lead got as big as 15 at one point. And at that point, it really felt dire. But I think, you know, the versatility of the Mavericks, and also, like you said, the leadership that guys like Grant Williams bring to the team, helped them channel a different playing style in the second half. And Luka recovered from a poor first half, and I think, you know, was more aggressive getting to the basket. Didn't complain as much besides that technical foul, of course. I thought he played pretty good defense on Gordon Hayward in the second half as well. So, and then we saw Kyrie Irving, who I think was maybe not the reason, but maybe one of the top two reasons why the Mavs won this game. I mean, his playmaking in the third quarter was huge, and it activated guys like Dwight Powell and Jaden Hardy, and empowered them to really make plays in the third quarter and help the Mavs get back into the game and eventually take the lead. So that kind of, I think, you know, adjustments were something we didn't see last year. And of course, the talent has a big part in that too, because last season it was mostly one-dimensional players. Like, if the Mavs didn't hit their threes in the first half, it's not like they could go to much different playing style in the second half. So that was great to see tonight. I'd love to see the Mavs get off to better starts in games, though, so they're not having to battle back and grind these games out in the clutch like they've been doing these first few games.
Yeah, on the Kyrie Irving note, I mean, he's had a little bit of a rough start to this season just in terms of scoring. And it's not even really that notable, but last season he was on a tear basically the entirety of the season until he got traded. So it is a bit of a night and day difference, but him having 10 assists tonight, and Jay, you mentioned Jaden Hardy, we've talked about in spaces and on the pod, I'm sure, before, how having Jaden create for himself off the bench may not be conducive for a team that's actually playing for stakes. Just because there's a bit of a learning curve to being a shot creator in the NBA, especially when you're a little undersized and not that strong. But in this case, it plays to his strengths. And also, that's been a thing that Kyrie has not always really patented his game after in the past, playmaking. I mean, not to say that he's been a bad playmaker, it's just not the key thing. It's not the thing that stands out from his performance night in and night out. So yeah, tonight seeing him contribute without scoring the ball in like the supernova that Kyrie Irving is on the basketball floor, on the basketball court on some nights, was extremely heartening.
Yeah, we don't win this game without the run that Kyrie made, that Kyrie led the team with at the end of the third quarter when Luka was sitting on the bench and, you know, still in the middle of like basically a not very good run. Kyrie's missed a lot of easy shots or makeable shots by his standards this entire season, but, you know, we're only six games in and he has been dealing with injuries. Hopefully, as he continues to get back into shape, things should be getting a lot more, you know, easier for him, especially on offense. And, well, the full potential of this team can really be unlocked because, you know, like it or not, this has basically been the Luka show these first six games. And it's not, look, we're 5-1, so this team is much better, but it's not exactly playoff winning basketball. or at least not at a level that's going to propel us to Western Conference Finals or beyond. I really don't have much to say. Jaden was great. At this point, you know, between him and Dante, they might have thrown Seth out of the rotation, which is interesting. Tim is Timmy. Like, it's the same old, same old. It's just, I guess he's healthy this year compared to, you know, the last year or two. And that's, we've seen that reflected in his shooting percentages. It is quite dangerous to see him shooting well from three.
Basel, we lost you for about 5 or 6 seconds there. So not sure who you were talking about there towards the end, but I'm assuming it was Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, that was Tim. Yeah, my bad. My internet connection was a little unstable. Yeah, just the same old from Tim. Like, it's just good to see that he's healthy now and he's shooting, making all these open threes and whatnot. I don't know if I really like him trying to expand his game and trying to go in for drives, but I guess you take the good with the bad when it comes to Tim. And yeah, as long as his three-point shot is online, then that's really all you can ask for with him.
Yeah, the Tim Hardaway Jr. experience is something very unique that I don't know how many other NBA fans of other teams can really relate to. But I mean, with Tim, like you said, you got to take the good with the bad. Obviously, to keep him engaged, you kind of do have to let him have those jam session type possessions where he's driving to the basket or taking difficult 2-point shots, the ones that he doesn't convert at a high rate and you don't want to see him take. But I think there's something strategic there that Jason Kidd is trying. And tonight, I don't think he shot the three that well. He was 4 for 12 from three, but at the same time, he did have some big 3-point makes, especially that 1-3 that gave the Mavs the lead for good in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, again, the Mavs' success is still somewhat correlated to Tim Hardaway Jr. Whether that's a problem or not is a conversation for another day, but that's just their reality. But he's been a big part of their success too. I mean, you don't win without 16 points from Tim Hardaway Jr. tonight. And he's been, I think, right there in the leading sixth man of the year candidates here in the early part of the season. So you can ask for a little bit more from Tim Hardaway Jr., but at the same time, I'm not getting too worked up about it at this point.
I mean, I don't want to dwell on it, but I have been very critical of Tim Hardaway Jr. in a Mavs uniform over the years. This season, I have no critiques of this man. There are critiques, but he's been integral to the team's success, even when he tries, to Fossil's point. Even some of those tries that you're not as confident in, I feel like that's really important to keep defenses guessing. In terms of his scoring, the way he plays is a little reckless, but there is a lot of basketball IQ behind it, and he is taking well-advised shots. Whether the basket goes in or not, as long as he takes the right shots, I think he's being excellent for his role. Can't sing his praises enough this season. I think there are three wins that are basically, they're guaranteed losses without him. So,
yeah, that's a great way to put it. Again, their success still depends a decent amount on Tim Hardaway. Maybe not as much as it did last year or the year before, but he's still a major factor in their success. I want to shift focus a little bit to the defense because that's been obviously a topic of discussion for the Mavericks. And tonight, they got off to a pretty poor start defensively, allowing, I believe, 62 first-half points to Charlotte. Again, not great. Third quarter, they were pretty good, only allowed 22 to Charlotte. But again, as you mentioned, Rohan, I think they allowed another 30-point fourth quarter to Charlotte. It's weird because we see these stretches of the game where the Mavs really lock in defensively and look that like a team capable of defending. But the issue is just their inability to sustain that, not even for a whole game, but for a whole half for that matter, right? So I wonder, is there anything that this team can do better without changing the personnel to at least eliminate some of those defensive lapses? Because as we saw today, Josh Green was getting mixed up and lost on a lot of ball screens, and that led to LaMelo Ball exploding for 5 threes in the fourth quarter after not hitting any in the first three quarters of the game. And it's those sorts of stretches that really, I think, inflate the opponent's offensive production and really limit the Mavericks' potential to be a good defensive team, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I don't have a lot to say on this because I think they're getting there. The thing I'll highlight is going under screens at times, even if the guy is not like the most efficient three-point shooter, the most lethal rhythm shooter like LaMelo. I think Grant had one, and I want to say the second quarter where he went underneath a LaMelo screen, or he went underneath a PJ Washington screen or someone on the Hornets. And he was made to pay very, very quickly. In general, I think that's what hurts the Mavericks, especially in terms of losing momentum. There was a lot of periods of this game where the game was like, where the score was within maybe six or seven, and they kind of just they kept going with that separation for a while. But if it wasn't for Gordon Hayward, frankly, not having the game he had last night, I think the Mavericks are losing this game. And frankly, it comes down to three-point defense. I think their point of attack defense is a lot better, but they get mixed up on screens a lot. I can't say much for Josh Green, but...
Yeah, Josh Green is a player who I would like to see a little bit more from. I think he's had a subpar start to the season for his standards. He's made some plays here and there, but overall, expected a little bit more from him. But hopefully he cleans it up as the season goes on.
Yeah, in Josh's case, like, you know, we say all this stuff about him being so young and, oh, he's as old now as Desmond Bane was in his rookie year, blah, blah, blah. I guess it works both ways because, you know, he's still prone to having all these moments of running around like a headless chicken, which I guess, you know, hopefully with more experience and more runs, he'll get better, more polished at just like slowing down and letting the game come to him on both ends. Because he certainly rushes it on offense sometimes too, and you know that's not great. But I do have faith in him. As far as defense in general goes, though, I will say that Grant, for all his strengths, he's not really the type that has that kind of foot speed to keep up with, you know, quicker players, and that's been consistent throughout his entire career. I'm not calling him, you know, unathletic or out of shape, but that's just simply not his game on defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen this with the Mavs. It's fine. It doesn't make him unplayable or anything close to that. Of course not, but it's just something that you got to factor in. And the way this team is going to be good on defense this year, because we don't really have the personnel for an elite defense quite yet, is just, you know, being a scrambling team and really being crisp on those kind of defensive rotations, which I will say, like, you know, this is a young team. This is a much younger team, much more inexperienced outside of like basically the core, you know, Luka and whatnot. And some of those core guys aren't exactly defensive stoppers, like Tim, for instance. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this team's capable of reaching that, you know, 21-22 Western Conference Finals level of defensive cohesion with the same scrambling defense that led them all the way there. But I guess I will say, I mean, I think the thing that might bridge that gap is basically how much Derek Lively can progress this season. You know, if he can pick up on more fundamentals of defense, and he's already quite good, but if he can just do, you know, make even more strides at that, then the ceiling for this team can be unexpectedly high, but I'd still, you know, probably place it at middle of the pack. So that's really all I've got to say on that. I don't really, we're going to be winning most of our games on offense this year, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, this is not going to be a team known for its defense, but at the same time, if they can scramble a little bit harder, I think we might see some improvement. And we see a lot of possessions that look very much like that Western Conference Finals team. But the issue is that it's not every possession. And I think a large reason for that, like you said, is, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. was not part of that Western Conference Finals team. Obviously, we know his defensive limitations and tendencies. Kyrie Irving obviously is a different player, who I think competes on defense, but is also maybe a little bit undersized to be, you know, considered an impact defender. So I think it's just going to be maybe adjusting the scheme a little bit, like Rowan said, to maybe not go under screen so much, because I feel like the league is just so good shooting that you can't keep going under screens because guys are going to make those shots. And with Derek Lively, I think that should give you some faith to maybe play a little bit more aggressively at the level of the screen, and not go under so much. But I think we'll see that evolve. I mean, as we've talked about before, the 21-22 Mavericks weren't a great defensive team in the early part of the season. That really picked up around the middle of the season, going into the playoffs. So, I mean, I don't expect the Mavs to reach that level of defensive production this season, but perhaps they can claw their way up into the middle of the pack defensively. And I think that should be good with how potent the Mavs offense is.
Yeah. Derek Lively's rebounding tonight might have been inflated by Brandon Miller's like 15 3-point misses, but he's by and far the anchor of this defense. And Grant Williams is great, but he's just not, he can't just erase a possession in the way Derek Lively can. So completely agree with Fossil.
And obviously tomorrow's game against Orlando, I think is going to be a big test for the Mavs because it's their first back-to-back of the season. Orlando's been playing pretty well too. They're another young, energetic team that likes to get out and run. So I don't know if I expect the Mavs to win tomorrow, but if they do win, I think that'll be pretty impressive considering the travel from Denver to Dallas and then now going to Orlando on the second night of a back-to-back. But this upcoming week for the Mavs with Orlando tomorrow, Toronto on Wednesday, and then the Clippers on Friday is going to be, I think, a good test for the Mavs. And if they come out with a winning record, I'll feel good about them, which I already feel good about them now, but would like to see them beat a little bit higher caliber of opponent or win these games a little bit more convincingly from the jump.
Definitely. The Magic, I think, will be a fun litmus test in terms of what this team has already shown its strengths to be. There's an argument to be made that Denver loss was in large part because the team played a little smaller, and Denver is a pretty tall team from 3 to 5. The Magic are not that type of team. They are pretty small, and they are extremely versatile throughout their guard lineup. So it's going to be really tough to defend them in any sense, but it's going to be a fun game as well.
Go ahead, Fossil.
I don't know, I just feel, based off of what you guys have said, tomorrow's game against the Magic kind of feels like a scheduled loss. But you know, I really won't be that mad if they lose tomorrow. But if we win, then, you know, I'm gonna say it's time to pop some bottles of champagne and predict put a bet on making the finals. And then I guess looking forward to the Raptors and the Clippers. Raptors, I don't know, I feel like the game's kind of 50-50 because they're just a very inconsistent team, you know, trying to adjust, I guess, to, you know, new additions and departures. Like the Clippers, well, with their trade for Harden, without giving up, in my opinion, that much depth, they're going to be a real test. They plan to start Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, Paul George, and Zubats. So I don't know about that, honestly. It's a very talented lineup. It's just, I don't know about the fit. So we'll have to see. They're definitely going to be in the very early stages of figuring it out. So, It could really be an opportunity for the Mavs to capitalize. And we all know that Luka likes to play big against the Clippers. So, you know, I'd bet the Mavs to be in that game.
I'm excited for that game. I think Clippers are a good team this year. And of course, they made that trade for James Harden. So that'll be probably the second best opponent that the Mavs have played this year, other than the Nuggets. But yeah, I don't know if I have too much more. I don't know. You guys have any closing thoughts?
Anthony Black I love you as a basketball player, but because you don't play for my favorite team, I hope you lay a stinker tomorrow, bro.
I hope the entire Magic team does not make a shot tomorrow.
Y'all are going to make Jalen Suggs cry again.
Hey, man, I think it's good that players take these regular season games hard like that. We need more players like that. So shout out Jalen Suggs, who plays very hard every game. But hopefully he doesn't play too hard tomorrow. Because as Jason Kidd mentioned, I think the last 2 years we've been in Orlando on the second night of a back-to-back. So this is like the at least the second straight season that that's been the case, maybe the third straight season. So I don't remember the last time we won in Orlando, so it would be nice to exercise that demon also. This has just been a season of exercising demons, so it can only go up from here. All right, well, I think that's a good stopping point for this episode. Thanks, Rohan and Fazil, for joining. Obviously, we missed Vinay on this one, but he'll be back hopefully soon. If you haven't, follow us on Twitter at Mavs Film Room, Instagram at Mavs Film Room as well, YouTube, Mavs Film Room. We'll be back with another episode probably next Sunday, and maybe in the middle of the week we'll do a spaces after one of these games. So thanks, everyone who's joined those. We appreciate the support. Go Mavs, and it's a big week ahead for the Mavs.